Hello and welcome, my beautiful listeners. Thank you so much for joining in. Happy Monday. Happy 4th of July. Yes, this is 4th of July, and I hope everybody's enjoying it out there. And that's why I moved the time a little bit up so that everybody can go out and hopefully enjoy the firework, because we have a rain today. And I don't know how this is going to turn out, but can't wait to see. I want to get out there and enjoy the firework as well, if there's going to be any, because it's raining here in D.C. We are in D.C. Thank you so much for joining in. You are listening to How Do You Sit, brought to you by Miriam Alemu, your one and only host. I'm here every Monday to make your Monday very bright and very beautiful. And I thank you, and I'm very humbled, and I'm very blessed to say that I am very thankful, and I'm very much grateful that I have you as a listener to come in here and wait for my show, to listen to it. So I can't wait for you to hear what I have for you today, because this is one of the most important things that we need to develop in our lives. It's becoming very popular nowadays, and it is going to become even more popular as we move on, as we continue to do a lot of research and a lot of things about this emotion and all that. So today we're going to talk about social and emotional intelligence, what it is, why do we need it, how can we develop it, and does it really matter, right? You have heard people talking about emotional intelligence and social intelligence, but nowadays it's becoming very popular, even at workplaces, that it's believed that we need to have more of a social intelligence and emotional intelligence. So today I have brought an expert on this topic with me here. His name is Chris Grog, and Chris Gross, and he will be talking to us about this emotional intelligence, social intelligence, what it is and what's the difference, all that. But since we did a very long conversation, we're just going to part of it today and part of it the next week. So I hope you're going to enjoy it. I hope you're going to learn a lot from this. I know I did. And please let me know what you think. You can call in live at 929-477-1328, or we can chat live here. You can tweet at me at @howdoyou_seeit. Or you can go to Facebook/World Perspective and you can make your comment over there. Or you can email me at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com. I really think this is one of the most important shows that I have done so far, and I really hope you'll learn a lot from it. Any questions you might have for me or for Chris, you're welcome to present it. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I love you so much. Hope you are having the best 4th of July, the best Independence Day. And we will be moving on to Chris Gross. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you're going to enjoy the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to How Do You See It with me, Miriam Alemu. You can tweet at us at @howdoyou_seeit, or you can text us at Facebook/World Perspective. Today we're going to talk about social intelligence, something that I've been waiting for to discuss this. And today we have Chris Gross with me, and he's going to talk about social intelligence. So welcome, Chris. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me. Emotional intelligence, social intelligence, very big topics in the human resource world, in the world of developing people, developing talent, and all those things. So yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah, I've been waiting for this for so long. So how did you get into this career?
It's a great question. People ask me that all the time. So I have a background in engineering. So I worked for General Electric for 4 years. And while I was working for General Electric, they had something called the preventive correction action. It's like a fancy way of saying a suggestion box. Okay. So basically, the company would pay you for coming up with ideas to help develop the company and the people in the company. And everything that I developed, of all the ideas that I came up with, had to do with people, developing relationships, developing mentor programs, increasing morale. And I had an aha moment at that point when I was thinking, I said, you know, I'm really good at this. I'm really good at people skills. So that kind of just led me to thinking about how do I make this into a business? How do I make this into a career? And then doing more research and then going back to school, getting my certifications in social emotional intelligence, getting my coaching certification, getting my temperament certification, and going back to get my degree in organizational management. So that's kind of like that was the catalyst initially, just really understanding that I had a innate talent, which I'll talk about a little bit later, what makes up emotional intelligence. And I know one of the questions is it genetics and all those things. So for me, definitely just being aware of what was going on with people, what motivated them, that always interests me. And so I made a career out of it. So I consider it my calling. So there's a lot of companies, organizations, individuals, and even in personal relationships that need this this service. So that's kind of like how I got started. And of course, reading a lot of books and observing people in my own personal life too, as well.
Interesting. So tell us about what social intelligence is and how you see it. How do you see it?
So social intelligence is the ability to manage relationships. So you could be at work and you have a staff, or it could be a coworker, or it could be a manager that is being hostile towards you, right? Really knowing how to manage that relationship. Or you may have a staff member that's being passive, or you may be in a relationship of a person that's being passive. So it's really how to manage that relationship, what to do in that relationship to make sure that it's a effective relationship and that there's growth happening. I consider, personal relationships just like professional relationships as well as business. If you're not growing, then you're slowly dying. And a lot of organizations, a lot of even personal relationships are dying because they don't have that effectiveness. They don't have the ability to manage those relationships. They don't have the social intelligence that it takes in order to grow those relationships. So that's really what it is. It's simple, but it's hard because there's a lot that goes into it, which then pours into the emotional intelligence as well.
Yeah. So can someone be socially intelligent by nature?
Great question. Absolutely. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Howard Gardner's work, and he wrote a book. And then he talked about the 9 intelligence. So there is IQ, and then there's EQ or SQ. So IQ is your education and what you learn,
yeah,
how you're able to process information.
Yeah.
So your SQ or your social quotient, or your EQ, your emotional quotient, that's something that you can learn. But there are certain gifts that people have when they're born that just give them an extra edge. Some people are good with numbers. Some people are good with concepts. Some people are good with music. Some people are good with nature. So that's kind of like what the 9 intelligence kind of unfold. Mm-hmm. So there's another component to intelligence, not just math and science and arithmetic. But there are these other 9 categories that we can be developed in. And yes, so if you, that kind of goes back to temperament. There are certain temperaments that are just more inclined to understand how people work, how emotions work. So you can definitely have it. But again, that's one of the things that you can definitely develop as well. And that's why they have so many courses on it, books written about it, and classes. And they a lot of companies now are hiring coaches, specifically not always in that area of social intelligence, but more specifically just how to manage those relationships. They don't call it social intelligence, but it's like, really, how do you manage those relationships? So to answer your question, yes.
Nowadays, it's believed that emotional intelligence is to matter more than an IQ, right? Even for business. What do you think of that?
So you still need IQ. You still need a certain level of intelligence to how to do the job, right? But what we're finding now, studies are revealing that the greater part of success in your business, in your company, in your personal life, parenting skills, being happy, overall well-being, has to do with the emotional intelligence and social intelligence, because it's not really about what you know, it's about how you apply what you know. Yeah. And so a lot of companies hire me to come in to work with their staff, to work with their employees, and even leadership. I've done work for Strayer University, Metropolitan Police, Loyola University, Child and Family Services of Washington, D.C., and other companies too. And really, when I come in the room, these people are educated. These people have years of experience under their belt. So it's not really about what they know. It's about how they apply it, how they communicate with other people, how they handle their own emotions, and how they take all that information and create effective relationships to be more effective at work, to be more effective at home, to be more effective in their personal and in their health as well. So it's a holistic approach when it comes to the social intelligence as well as the emotional intelligence.
Yes, that's true, but I think what they were saying is, I've read some articles about it, and what they were saying is, if you have a better emotional intelligence than IQ, you have a better way of handling people, so that you can keep those people who have greater IQ than you, so you can keep your organization going, you know what I mean? So that's why I think they said emotional intelligence is better to have nowadays than only the IQ.
I totally agree with you. So, yeah, that's only probably about 25% of your success, the IQ. You definitely need the social intelligence. And now companies are hiring people and actually running them through tests and assessments to make sure they have enough social intelligence to run the organization. Many years ago, 20, 30 years ago, individuals were hired and more so moved up the ladder, and you see it in government agencies, not because of their ability to lead, but they're tenured. So if a person has been working in the same job for 10, 15, 20 years, there's an assumption that they're a good leader or manager, which is not true. So I totally agree. So definitely the social intelligence is going to outweigh in the end the education and the IQ.
Thank you so much for joining in. You are listening to How Do You See It? And we are today discussing about social intelligence, emotional intelligence, and IQ also, and trying to cover all about it in a very brief but clear way. So you can tell us what you're thinking. You can tweet at us at @HowDoYou_see_it, or you can go to Facebook /WorldPerspective, and you can write your comment over there, or you can email me at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com as well. Hope you are enjoying it. Let me know what you think. So, Chris, what are some of the characteristics of socially intelligent person?
So a socially intelligent person is a balanced person, a person that's aware of what's going on in their environment, what's going on with their staff, what's going on with themselves, how to manage those relationships. Ultimately, this person will come off more confident. This person will also be aware and know how to negotiate relationships with staff members that could be considered as difficult or very strong or dominant staff members, as well as passive staff members. So, and of course, you see it in your personal life as well. So overall, it's about them being effective in relationships, feeling balanced. So if you're working with someone that has a high level of social intelligence, you may not always like what they say, but you're going to feel that this person is fair. This person is being fair. This person is being balanced. And because of that, you're more inclined to have a better relationship with them, allow them to lead you, as well as take advice from them too. So, you know, and it really is a great model for how to operate, again, in business and in your personal life.
So not to confuse our listeners, let's talk about the difference between the social intelligence and emotional intelligence. I think everybody's aware of IQ, but these two things.
Sure. So let's start with emotional intelligence,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So emotional intelligence is the ability to be aware of your emotions as well as your ability to be aware of someone else's emotions. you take the information of the emotional intelligence and now manage those relationships. You know, when to communicate, how to communicate, when to, you know, take a break in a conversation, pitch and tone, you know, looking at someone in their eyes, all of that's emotional intelligence. I'm sorry, all that's social intelligence. How they work in conjunction is that when you are aware of your emotions and you know why you feel what you feel, then you can manage better your social intelligence. So that, for example, if you had a staff member that came into your office and was irate, emotional intelligence would first identify how do you feel about what's going on, what's happening, right? Mm-hmm. To not respond right away. Give yourself that space, that 1 or 2 or 3 seconds to try to understand what you're feeling and then understand what that person is feeling. Mm-hmm. After that, then social intelligence kicks in. What do I now do at this point? Do I interject, or is this an opportunity for me just to listen to what the staff member is saying? So and they really work in conjunction, and they're two different things, but they work close together, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. So let me ask you this. This social intelligence, it means paying attention to others' emotion as well, right? Not only yours, but others, so that you know when to, as you said, interrupt or maybe step back or just listen. And so your way of intelligence, so that you can understand that person, right? Or the situation in front of you.
Yes.
So when you do that, when you pay attention to others, is it possible that we diminish our own emotion, our own self-awareness? Because this happens a lot of times to me. That's why I'm asking you.
Okay.
When you pay attention to someone's emotion and react based on that, it's very good for that person, of course, because you're aligning to their whatever they're requiring you to do. But you're not listening to your emotion and acting upon that, because that's going to affect the other person or the situation that's in front of you. So how do you handle this kind of situation?
Mary, that is like such an excellent question. Okay, I got really excited for a second because when I go into organizations, this is the struggle. And really it's a conversation, it's the internal conversation. Who am I going to be today? There's passive communicators, there's aggressive, assertive, and passive-aggressive communication styles, right?
Yeah.
So we're never one, we're any one that we choose to be in that given time. So when you say, you know, so I'm more concerned about another person's emotions more than mine. So that's not being assertive. That's being more passive, right? And it's what we choose to do in that moment. So healthy emotional intelligence is valuing both emotions, valuing my emotions as well as valuing the other person's emotions. So it's really about negotiating and navigating that whole space of how does this person feel? How do I feel? And then the social intelligence behind it, having a conversation. So it's really, if you think about it, it doesn't have to be 50-50, but it really just says we both share this relationship. We both share responsibility for this. We both share the responsibility of communicating how we feel about something in a healthy manner, right?
Yeah.
So valuing that other person and valuing yourself as well. So really it's not about just that other person. It's also about yourself and then the social intelligence and how you actually communicate how you feel about it. And sometimes in relationships, depending on, you know, again, some relationships are very hierarchy and one person is taking the lead. But a balanced relationship and balanced communication allows both people to get their needs met. And so if that other person is getting their needs met more than yours, it's really not about you. I mean, it's really not about them. It's really about you then now putting your emotions on the table as well, or at least having a conversation about what your values are. So it's really just taking a step forward and being more assertive.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
But that's not going to make the other party happy most of the time.
So it's not, so it's not about making the other person happy, right?
Okay.
So that's a misunderstanding about emotional intelligence. It's not about making another person happy. It's about being fair and just. And as you know, if you've ever had staff, or if you've ever raised kids, or if you've ever had a situation where happy about it. But then there's a conversation that happens that says, here's what would be balanced here? What would be healthy here? How do we value your time? We're going to have you work extra 2-3 hours a day for the next 2-3 weeks until we get this project done. What would make sense? Would you want overtime? Would you want leave? Would you want a trip? You know, so it's really, again, not about appeasing the other person. It's really about saying, here's what's happening. Here's what's going on. How do we work this out so that we're both winning here? And so it's really about how we come, you know, how we go about the relationship and not valuing the other person more than us. It's not about appeasing them. It's not about making them happy. It's about what's fair and what's just. And again, handling the emotions, and I always tell people in a lot of companies, staff are not really being honest with their employers.
Yeah.
Because, again, it goes back to that same conversation we just had. I don't want to make them unhappy. I don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, so you want to think about it as an investment. So you can either have the pain now and success later, or you could ignore it and regret later, because the reality is whatever is a problem now will be a problem later on. Whatever is an issue now will be an issue later on, whether it be a personal relationship, whether it be a professional relationship. So it's better to have that person not happy, but understand and develop a healthy relationship from the beginning, opposed to you not being happy now and them not really being happy, but the illusion of happiness, and later on having it to be an unhealthy relationship where when we suppress our values, our emotions, it comes up later in passive-aggressive ways or aggressive ways. So it's really about being healthy. And I think it's a really hard thing to do, especially in today's society, when we're being hit with so much, you got to be happy, you got to do things the way people want you to do it. But it's really not about that. It's really about valuing yourself, valuing your emotions and your values, and allowing that other person to be who they are. And it's having a real healthy conversation. Sometimes it's not going to be, you know, everyone's not going to be happy. But in the end, everyone will be healthy and moving towards a healthy relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I do understand the end goal. But in organizations, I think it might be a lot more easier since there's no string attached there. But when it's personal relationship, maybe it's with your family, let's say, or so it makes it more difficult. It makes people want to think that you are maybe emotionless or something, because people do say that when you tend to.
Right.
Yeah. So when you tend to just oversee their emotion and just try to. Get to the end point, they're like, you're emotionless, or you don't get it, you don't understand, you know, so it kind of creates more, because there's a string attached, and I think it's more difficult in a personal relationship to handle this than an organization. What do you think? I don't know. I think it's more difficult.
So here's the deal. Again, two parts to this. When you go to the doctors, right, when a doctor sees something is wrong, let's say, for example, you have something going on with your knee and you need surgery,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor could say, I'm not going to tell him because I'm afraid of how he or she is going to respond, right?
Yeah.
And that problem becomes worse, and all of a sudden you need your leg amputated, right?
Yeah.
Very similar in relationships. So if a problem is a problem, it's going to be a problem. It's going to continue to grow as a problem. And to a large degree, we have to look at relationships the same way. And really, it's not about how they handle the information. Here's what I found. Here's the trick. It's really about how we feel about how they handle the information. Because we don't want people to be upset with us.
Yes.
We don't want people to be unhappy. We don't want people, especially if we live with these people, especially if we see them on a day-to-day basis, especially if we have some type of, you know, a higher level of, you know, relationship with them. It could be our family, our kids, you know, a spouse or anything like that. So I totally agree with you, Miriam, and I totally understand it. However, there's still a part of it that says I have to some degree, train and teach people how to interact with me, as well as I have to understand how to interact with other people. And there's a big challenge in personal relationships, because social the drive to appease someone to affirm someone else's values and kind of take away from yours, because you want harmony in your relationship, you want harmony in your household. But here's the reality, Marian. A lot of times when that happens, when you don't value your, or you allow someone else's values to be greater than yours, and you kind of pull back, you cannot meet your goals. You cannot develop. You cannot grow. You cannot be effective in that relationship. It becomes a stagnant relationship. And on a subconscious level, there is a lot of angst in that relationship that comes up in other ways. So either way, it's going to come out. Either way, it's going to show up. So the question is, do you want to deal with it now, or do you want to deal with it later?
Yeah.
Either way, you know. So it's a very hard concept, but the more, again, a little bit later, when we start talking about techniques to increase our social and emotional intelligence, mm-hmm. we'll kind of see some of the things that are healthy are scary.
Correct.
Right? Going to your boss and saying, hey, you know, looking at the work that you've done and realizing you need a raise. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to your spouse and saying, hey, we're not doing the things that we said we were going to do. Approaching your teenage daughter, right? I have two of them, approaching your teenage daughter, telling them they can't do something for the weekend. Sometimes for people are scary.
Yeah.
However, what is healthy sometimes doesn't feel good at first.
Yes. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Thank you so much, my beautiful listeners, for joining in. Again, you're listening to How Do You See It? Today we're talking about social intelligence, emotional intelligence. We're having fun here. I hope you're enjoying and learning a lot from this conversation. Thank you so much, Chris.
Well, wasn't that amazing? He was just an amazing person, and he just taught us a lot of things. I believe so. I hope you did too. And this is not over. We're going to continue our discussion next week. We're going to talk about more into technical stuff, how we can develop it, and all those stuff. And he's going to share with us some of the stories that he has when he's working on this organizations and what changed and what happened because of that. So we have a lot more to talk about, and we're going to continue this discussion next week, next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can call in live at 929-477-1328, or you can tweet at me at @howdoyou_see_it, or go to Facebook/World Perspective, or you can email me at worldperspectiveshow@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining in. We'll pick up from where we left off. We'll continue this next week. Hope you will have the best 4th of July, the best evening, and hope you have a beautiful, beautiful weekend, this long weekend. I hope everybody enjoyed this. Thank you so much. I'll see you next week, and we'll continue our discussion with Chris Gross about social and emotional intelligence. Thank you. Have a beautiful, beautiful evening.